The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The next day, there was going to be a large celebration in church. The church would be filled. The people from all over town would be there, and the people from all over the countryside would be there in worship the next day. So an obscure monk, who happened to also be a university professor, took that opportunity to post a notice on the bulletin board, which was the door of the church. He had things that he wanted the church to start in discussion and also to debate. The day was October 31st, 1517. That obscure monk was Martin Luther. And the things that he posted on that bulletin board were 95 theses or statements of what he wanted to have discussed and opened up before the church. Most of those things dealt with the sale of indulgences. Back in that day and time, people believed, or the church taught, of purgatory. Purgatory was where you went after you died, before you went to heaven or hell. In purgatory, then, you spent that time either making up, doing good works for all those sins that you committed through your lifetime, or you were being punished for all those sins that you did through a lifetime. Each sin had a specific amount of time that you had to spend in purgatory, or the amount of time that you would be punished. And so a person who would be declared a saint, one of the saints of the church, would skip purgatory altogether. But somebody who was very rotten may spend a million years in purgatory. But there was a way to shorten those years in purgatory for yourself or for a loved one who had passed on ahead of you. What you could do then is buy an indulgence. An indulgence was usually something that was associated with one of the saints. It could be, say, a lock of hair from one of the saints, or maybe a snippet of clothing from one of the saints, or maybe a piece of jewelry or some possession that they had. Or it could be something even to like a little sliver of wood that is said to have been part of the cross of Christ. It could have been a picture of a saint or a semblance of something of a saint as well then too. And the church was selling these. They were selling these indulgences. And the money then went to build the St. Peter's Square in Rome, or it went to line the pockets of the clergy. This troubled Martin Luther. Well, several things troubled Martin Luther. One was, it also addressed this issue, was how can I, as a sinful person, ever make it to heaven? How can I ever be worthy? How can I be justified even to be a part of God's kingdom? Because I am a sinful person. That troubled him very much. And then these sales of indulgences. And he searched Scripture diligently, looking for purgatory or looking for the sale of indulgences. He found nothing. He found absolutely nothing. what he found or what he learned through Scripture. And it was in Romans. It was something that Paul had written in Romans. And it was about what Jesus had taught and what Jesus was all about. And here we have it recorded in Romans chapter 3 and at verse 28. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. It opened up a whole new world for Martin Luther. That salvation was not tied to good works. That it was only by faith in the things that Christ had done for us. Our salvation was won for us through Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to change the teachings of the church, and the way to do that was to start discussion, to start debates or arguments on those things. And so from that day on, the Reformation had started. Sometimes I think we put ourselves in our own purgatories. The church no longer teaches purgatory, but I think we continue to put our own selves in purgatory. We think, I have to do these good things so that God will like me. Or we may ask the question, how little do I have to do in order to make it? Or we may punish ourselves or beat ourselves up when we sin. We may think, I'm a bad person. And so we punish ourselves and we feel all this guilt and that shame and everything else that piles up on us, thinking we ought to do better than that. But think of the power here in that verse. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. It frees us. It sets us absolutely free. No longer is that pressure upon us that we have to do good. We have to earn our way into heaven. That no longer applies because it is already taken care of. God has already done that. It's not tied to how good of a person I am or what I do or what I'm capable of doing or what I've done in the past or what I'm going to do in the future. It takes all the guilt and the shame off of our shoulders because we always fall short. We always can never make it. As hard as we try not to sin, we still continue to sin. This takes all the pressure off of us. We are set free. Or as Jesus says in the gospel, the truth shall set you free. Martin Luther had discovered that truth of Jesus Christ. That salvation comes only by grace. When Jesus said that the truth shall set you free, I think a lot of times we too may have that same reaction that the Jews had when Jesus first told them. What? We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying we will be made free? And we may say the same thing. We're Americans. We are free. We live in a free country. The Constitution and the bylaws guarantees our freedoms and our rights. Paul also mentions that through the law, we also have knowledge of sin. We realize that we are sinful. And we are tied to that sin. We are imprisoned within that sin because we are born of a fallen humanity. We are born with that original sin. And as hard as we try, we cannot keep from sinning. Each and every day, we continue to sin. We may not want to, and that may not always try to be our intention, but it happens. It's who we are as human beings. Every one of us continues to sin. And we're locked into that prison. And because we have sinned, because we have disobeyed God, we have disobeyed the commandments, we have broken them, our sentence is death. Our sentence is death. But because of what Christ has done for us, that he took that death and he died himself, but he overcame that death and rose from the grave, giving us the promise that we too shall rise with him. We simply believe. We simply have faith. And so it's not tied to how good of a person we are or how many sins we have done. We are simply saved through through Jesus Christ by faith. We have been set free. However, some people want to continue in their old prisons. I had a friend who did some prison work, prison ministry work in Minnesota. And he told me about a conversation he had with one of the inmates. The inmate was telling him that, or was asking him, he knew that Jamie was from Texas. And so he was asking Jamie, how are the prisons in Texas? Come to find out that this inmate would soon be released from prison. His sentence was finished, that he would be going home, he would be released, he would be getting out very soon. And he didn't like the cold weather in Minnesota. So what his plan was once he was released, that he would go south, that he would commit another crime, and go back into the prison again. Because prison was his only home. He had been incarcerated since he was a teenager, and that was the only life he knew. His family had long given up on him. He didn't know anybody on the outside. He had no home on the outside. The only home he ever knew was prison. He was fed meals in prison, even though the meals were not tasty whatsoever. He had a roof over his head, although his cell was locked most of the time and was very sparsely decorated or appointed. He didn't have to make decisions for himself because someone always told him what to do. They told him what time it was to eat, what time to get up, what time to go to bed, what time you could get out and get an hour's worth of exercise. They told him everything he had to do. So he didn't have to make decisions for himself. Prison was the only home. And so he had every intention of staying in prison for the rest of his life. We too sometimes want to lock ourselves up in our own prisons because that's the only thing we know. The outside world is big and scary. We don't want to take any risk. We don't want to go beyond what we know. Change is hard. Reform is hard. We don't want to do those things, and we lock ourselves up. We hang on to our grudges. Somebody has done something bad to me, and so we're not going to like that person forever, no matter if they apologize, no matter what they do, and we spend our lives trying to find out ways how to get even and ruin their life too. We lock ourselves in the prisons of hatred, the prisons of prejudice. They're different from us, so they must be bad people. We're not going to associate with them at all. We lock ourselves away in prison. But Christ comes, and he sets us free. Yes, it's scary to be in the big wide world. Yes, it's scary to go out and make decisions for Christ, for the kingdom of God, to take those risks, to put ourselves out there, and tell other people that story of Jesus Christ. We're afraid sometimes that we're going to be rejected, or that we will be laughed at, that we will look like fools, or that we will be look like we're somebody from way behind back in the Stone Ages. But we go and we tell that story of Christ. Christ has set us free. We're no longer locked in those prisons. Our sentence of death has been scratched out. He has given us life and given us the promise of eternal life. We are set free. One more prison story. What if you were given the authority to go into a prison and release everybody? Unlock the outside gates, unlock every single cell door within that prison and tell the people, you are free, you can go out. What would be the reaction from the prisoners? I think you'd get several reactions. One reaction would be, like I was just saying, prison was the only home they know. They would refuse to leave the prison. They would stay there. Even though that everything is open, it's wide open, they could leave, they would stay there. Another group of prisoners would rush right out, commit new crimes, and be thrown right back into prison again. They hadn't learned anything. They haven't taken any lessons about what has happened, or about their incarceration, or about their release. They would go out, commit more crimes, and be thrown right back into prison. Other people would be happy that they were out of prison, They would not even acknowledge that that was a part of their life. They would tell no one. They would blank it out of their own memory. They would not acknowledge that they had committed any kind of crimes or that they had been locked up. It would just be that part of their life would be blank. But at the same time that they wouldn't acknowledge their crimes or their incarceration, they also would not acknowledge then that they had a need for anybody to release them. They would have no need then to make acknowledgement to the person who set them free. And then there would be another group of prisoners as well then too. A group of prisoners who would be overjoyed that somehow they didn't have to fulfill their own sentence. That their sentence had been wiped clean. The doors had been left open and they had been told, "You are set free. You can go. You can leave." And that group of people would be so overjoyed and so thankful, but they would want to find out who and why they were released, why they were set free. Again, we put ourselves in our own prisons, but Christ has set us free. And I think we have the same reactions as well then too. Some of us don't want to leave our prisons. We want to hang on to those grudges or to that hatred, to that prejudice, or to that fear, to that shame, to that guilt that we have. Because that's the only life we know. And so we cling to that. Others of us then simply just refuse the gift, refuse that gift of grace from Christ. We refuse to learn anything from our experiences or what God has to tell us or where God wants to lead us. And we find ourselves back in prison again. Others simply don't want to acknowledge that we were ever imprisoned, that we were ever in trouble, that we ever had any problems. And therefore, we don't need to acknowledge God. We don't need to acknowledge the saving grace. And then for others then too, we are grateful, we are thankful, we are joyous that we have been set free. And we go out into that big, wide, scary world in order to tell people that Christ does set us free, to tell that story of the gospel. The truth shall make you free, and you are free indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.